This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Derek walks you through how to win government jobs and contracts, effectively manage your government career, and best utilize government services. Every week on Fed Access, you'll learn about interesting federal agencies, workers, and jobs. Fed Access provides you the access you need to succeed in the federal government. And now your host, Derek T. Dortch.
Welcome to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Thank you for coming by the show. We always are glad to have you. Today, we're going to be talking about an interesting topic. And as you know, if you've been listening to Fed Access, I always like to monitor what's going on in the international front, anything that's going on with terrorism, because these things are very, very important issues. And there's a number of different terrorist groups that we hear about. We always hear about Al-Qaeda. We hear about AQIP and AQ, the different branches of Al-Qaeda, AQIM, and all the other things. We hear about Al-Shabaab in Somalia. We hear about different groups. But there are other terrorist organizations and that are out there. There are other people who are doing some things out there. And the State Department just recently made an announcement that they just put another organization that's been around for some time on their terrorism list, Boko Haram in Nigeria. And we're going to be talking about that today. Who is this group? And why did State Department now put them on their list? And what does that mean? You know, what is going on in Nigeria? And why is Nigeria and in other parts of Africa important to us? We're going to be talking about that today on Fed Access. We have joining us Mark Schroeder. Is that right, Mark?
That is right.
Did I get that right? I got Mark Schroeder. He's a vice president of African analysis at Stratfor. Stratfor is a geopolitical intelligence firm. We've had them on Fed Access before, and they've always provided some great insight. So we are happy to have Mark on the show today. Thank you for coming on Fed Access, Mark.
Hey, Derek, thanks so much for having me on your program today.
You know, the State Department put this recent announcement out this past week or so and put Boko Haram and another group, I think Ansaru, and just make sure I'm pronouncing that correct. If not, I know you'll correct me. But who are these two organizations and you know, where are they based? And then, you know, what have they been doing and why did State Department put them on their list?
Absolutely. So we're talking about two militant organizations in Nigeria. The first you mentioned, Boko Haram, and the other, Ansaru. They are both located in kind of the northern regions of Nigeria, kind of towards the Sahel belt of the desert of that part of Africa, the Sahara Desert. And these two groups are kind of very closely intertwined, one perhaps a little bit more radical, and I'm speaking about Ansaru compared to Boko Haram, but in any case, you know, both have been conducting a insurgency in northern Nigeria for several years, and Boko Haram kind of wins the prominence up there in northern Nigeria with very persistent and bloody attacks against the Nigerian government, against the civilians, against public facilities such as banks and police stations, and really in a bid to undermine the credibility and the capability of the Nigerian government to provide security in that part of the country. This group, Boko Haram, has also conducted a few noteworthy attacks against international targets, particularly, or I can mention specifically, the United Nations headquarter building in the Nigerian capital, as well as the Nigerian Department of Defense headquarters in the Nigerian capital. So they have conducted some pretty significant terrorist attacks in the country, and they are ongoing.
You know, I've been looking at Boko Haram for quite some time right now. And like you mentioned, they've been doing a great, and, you know, just watching that area, they've been killing a lot of people, having a lot of bombings and other things like that for quite some time now. You know, why now is State Department putting them on the list? Why not before, when this bloodshed has been going on for some years?
Great question. And the State Department has thought about putting them on the list for a couple of years now, and has proposed to put them on the list, but the State Department and the U.S. government has always experienced resistance from the Nigerian government to actually designate Boko Haram as a terrorist organization. And I think there's probably a few reasons for the resistance by the Nigerian government. And the Nigerian government prefers to deal with these security issues in-house, does not want to kind of raise international attention to these internal conflicts. And we can point out that there are a lot more kind of internal conflicts in Nigeria than just Boko Haram and Ansaru. And we can point to kind of the militancy going on in the Niger Delta where all the oil and gas is being produced. But I think, you know, going back to the Nigerian government really wants to deal with this in-house for their own political purposes. And so it has kind of pushed back against the U.S. designation, you know, to this point. But finally, you know, we can probably just say the kind of the intensity of the campaign by Boko Haram has just, you know, gotten to a point. And if we look ahead to, you know, trends over the next year or two, you know, it's time to, you know, really be intent about combating or countering Boko Haram. And this designation will help to do so.
You know, with this happening, I know President Goodluck Jonathan from Nigeria was in the States recently. I know he met with President Obama and had been a discussion about, you know, countering, terrorism. And that kind of came close to that time about the Kenya attacks and everything else. What does that mean for us now, Mark? I mean, does that mean that we're going to be getting involved in Nigeria a lot more in terms of since they're now on one of our official lists by the State Department? Does that mean that we are going to start dedicating resources, whether it be from State Department, whether it be from the CIA and or special operations, to start helping the Nigerian government? Where do we go with this?
Sure. Now, let me explain the assistance that the United States has provided to Nigeria to this point. And there certainly, you know, have been many years worth of concerns by the U.S. government and other Western governments about insecurity in Nigeria. And if we just take a step back a few years and look to concerns for energy security when militancy in the Niger Delta was hot, then, you know, the United States cooperated closely with the Nigerian authorities to provide training and security assistance to really kind of improve the capacity of the Nigerian military forces and police forces to counter that insurgency. And I would expect that kind of the same sort of training and assistance package will be applied to the Nigerian government as they try to counter Boko Haram right now. So we're not anticipating, you know, any meaningful United States forces helping the Nigerians, but it can range from, you know, training of Nigerian troops that we have seen already for different purposes, the provision of intelligence or assistance in coordinating and analyzing intelligence that's already coming in. But really, you know, that kind of backroom assistance to the Nigerians and really try to improve the capacity of the Nigerian security forces to interdict Boko Haram.
You know, with this situation, and there's always been, and you mentioned this, I want to get into this in the latest show, there's always kind of been a battle between the North and the South, you know, as it relates to, and I think Goodluck Jonathan, he's kind of the Christian on the Christian side, and then the Muslims have been, then the North and South is kind of divided by religion. Is this a religious battle, or is this a battle for resources? I mean, what's the take on this for Boko Haram?
Now, that's a great question and a great observation that, you know, battles within Nigeria have been going on basically, you know, ever since the country became independent from the United Kingdom. And it's really a ferocious battle that persists to control the federal government. And once you are in control of the federal government, you get control over massive resources. And I'm talking about that 2.5 million barrels of light sweet crude that is produced from the Niger Delta region. And what's interesting to note is that, you know, no matter the battles and the conflicts and the insurgencies that happen and have happened over the decades in Nigeria, at its heart, it comes down to a fight to get into the government and a fight to control the government. And now what we're seeing is, you know, a fight between you know, political elite or political interest between, you know, northerner and southerner regions. So the president, Goodluck Jonathan, is, as you correctly noted, is from the south and is a Christian and from the Niger Delta region and is a member of the ethnic Ija tribe from that oil producing area. And then the political elite that are battling him are from the north, who really feel that they are aggrieved by moves that the Jonathan administration has made. And in Nigeria, for better or worse, how political grievances are resolved is often with militancy tradecraft. And we've seen that in the Niger Delta, and we're seeing that now in the north.
Mark, I'm going to hold you right there. We got to take a quick break. Want to kind of start getting into this a little bit deeper and really want to talk about, for us, why is Nigeria is important? You know, why is this, because people always wonder when we start giving military aid and we start looking at State Department designating certain things, you know, why is this region important to us strategically for our national security and our international, you know, security and economic interests? I want to talk about that a little bit more as we began looking at Boko Haram, we began looking at this organization and looking at Nigeria as a whole. We're talking to Mark Schroeder. He is the vice president at Stratfor, and he's the one who's in charge of Africa analysis at Stratfor. Stratfor is a geopolitical firm, geopolitical intelligence firm. You can find them at stratfor.com. We're talking about Boko Haram, not a new terrorist organization, but an organization who's been designated as a terrorist organization by State Department this past week. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're having an interesting show about an organization called Boko Haram. You may not have heard about them, but the State Department has just designated them as a terrorist organization. They seem to have some links to Al-Qaeda, and we'll be talking about that. But they're in Nigeria, and they've been causing some havoc and heartache and a number of different attacks amongst the civilian population, amongst the government, and everywhere else within Nigeria for a number of different reasons. We're talking about these issues with Mark Schroeder. He's the vice president of Africa Analysis at Stratfor. Stratfor is a geopolitical intelligence firm, and you can find them at stratfor.com. They provide a great deal of analysis, not only for government agencies, but for the private sector, for NGOs, and provides a great deal of analysis on a number of different regions, and Africa is one of them. Mark, you know, when we look at Boko Haram and we look at kind of these dynamics of Nigeria, why is Nigeria important to us? And I know some people will say it's the oil, because, you know, you have China who's now moving into different parts of Africa, and you have a number of different interests who are looking at Africa as that country, begins to kind of grow and seems to kind of take hold, and people are thinking about economic interests.
Absolutely. So that is one significant component of U.S. and Western interest in Nigeria. And that oil, they produce about 2.5 million barrels of oil a day, and that makes Nigeria the largest oil producing state in Africa, and a full member of OPEC, and is a dependable supplier to international markets, including right here in the United States. And there have been kind of militancy disruptions over the years that have disrupted that supply of oil to the United States and Europe and Asia. So whenever we see militancy campaigns and we're concerned about, the availability of a significant supply of light sweet crude, we have to be quite concerned with, what is going on in Nigeria. But beyond that, Nigeria is also, the most populous country in Africa. Its population is upwards of 170 million people. It's traditionally the regional power in West and Central Africa. It has a capability of exerting significant influence over the region. It has, in the past, intervened to resolve civil conflicts in countries of West Africa, and I'm talking specifically about Liberia and Sierra Leone in the late 1990s and going into the early 2000s. And so Nigeria plays a very significant role as an oil supplier and also as a stabilizing factor in West Africa. And so when we start to see significant insecurity in Nigeria and disruption it becomes a very significant concern for the international community. We've noted, you know, events by Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb in Mali and Algeria and other countries of West Africa over the last year. And yet those countries really do not have any, you know, compelling economic interests or a compelling population base, you know, that can disrupt kind of the global community. Nigeria, on the other hand, with 170 million people, with 2.5 million barrels of oil a day, with the capacity to be a stabilizing force in that region of Africa, if Nigeria starts to collapse, you lose a pretty comprehensive footprint in that part of Africa. And that is the big concern.
You know, you just brought out a whole bunch of different major concerns. And let me ask this question, Mark. If we see like an organization and, you know, we see this battle between the North and the South and we see these battles with Boko Haram, and you talk about the control of the government. If we see the control of the government go from a good luck Jonathan and his party and maybe move over to a type of organization like Boko Haram, what's the ramifications of that?
Well, you know, what is a more likely outcome is a shift in power from, you know, the civilian and Christian Good Luck Jonathan back to northerner elites who traditionally have dominated governments in Nigeria, you know, going back to independence. And these are, you know, very power hungry, you know, Muslim leaders in the north. But that is also to say, you know, these are not radicals necessarily, but who can overlook Islamist radicalism in order to achieve their political objectives.
Hmm.
And the very same thing played out in southern Nigeria to assist in the rise of Jonathan to get to his position as president, where we saw, you know, radical militancy in the Niger Delta conduct ferocious attacks against the energy infrastructure there and really hold the country hostage, enabling, you know, Jonathan and his supporters to rise into the presidency. So, you know, we're seeing the kind of the reversal of that dynamic. Terrorism used as a political tool to gain leverage and achieve political objectives. Again, you know, oil is really the only economic resource, and Nigerians are a very, you know, dynamic and commercial oriented entrepreneurial culture. They really all agree that, you know, oil is their birthright. You know, who controls that birthright is up for debate. But their political elite who are Muslim and may overlook, you know, terrorism as political tradecraft, you know, they also are equally interested and fully committed to, you know, ensuring, you know, oil production over the medium and long term. But these are, you know, back to your point in question, you know, these are big battles that are being fought and using, you know, terrorism and militancy as tools to achieve very significant for Nigerian perspectives objectives.
You know, with these organizations like Boko Haram and Ansar, their objectives, is it also anything in terms of, you know, how we see certain situations with Taliban or other organizations about kind of Western or Al-Shabaab, you know, Western education is a sin and they don't want certain things, they don't want a Western influence. Are we talking about some similar efforts with this, also kind of a change in kind of the dynamic and the culture of the country? Or is it more just a you know, and do people feel like the country is going in the wrong direction and that, you know, too many countries like the United States are being involved?
Well, you know, the Boko Haram we can translate as Western education is a sin. And, you know, Northern Nigeria is Muslim and there are, you know, many constituents, you know, supportive of, you know, Islamist, you know, thinking and culture and political priority. You know, there is, in fact, you know, Sharia law applicable in many states of northern Nigeria, and yet there's no broader controversy over the application of Sharia law, and it's in fact quite, you know, tame Sharia law in northern Nigeria right now. But certainly, you know, there are the, you know, more extremist sympathizers or members in northern Nigeria, and we see, you know, Boko Haram play on that. But as a whole, you know, it's fair to say that, you know, Nigerians are a moderate people, but who have struggled for years and decades, you know, with extremist tendencies in their midst.
You know, Mark, as I'm looking at this kind of the picture dynamic and as we're thinking about these organizations, does the North represent, and do we possibly see, and possibly go into this into the next segment, do we see that Boko Haram, are their interests purely Nigerian, or will there be a stray off in terms of, you know, well, now that the U.S. is getting more and more engaged, will we possibly see attacks on U.S. interests either in the country or beyond that?
That's a great question, and one that we've had to analyze, you know, very, very focusedly. You know, Boko Haram has conducted a, you know, significant and intense insurgency in northern Nigeria. But apart from its two attacks in the capital, Abuja, that have targeted the United Nations country headquarters and the defense ministry headquarters, it has refrained from targeting Western facilities or Western interests as a whole. There are the occasional kidnapping of Western individuals in northern Nigeria or on the border of northern Nigeria. But beyond those rare examples, Boko Haram has focused its efforts on symbols of the Nigerian government and civilians who are supportive of the Nigerian government, or in other words, who are resistant to the Islamists in northern Nigeria. Boko Haram has not conducted attacks outside of the country, you know, such as, you know, across the border into Niger or Mali or Burkina Faso. But the concern, however, the legitimate concern is that, you know, Boko Haram can reach out and has reached out to the other terrorist groups in the region, ones that you have already mentioned at the top of the show, such as Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, AQIM. And clearly, Boko Haram has sought to relate to Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, going and traveling to their training camps and trying to gain assistance or expertise from Al-Qaeda, perhaps with the goal of being, you know, a proxy or a supporting militant group of Al-Qaeda, as Al-Qaeda, you know, still retains the overall strategy of bringing the Islamic caliphate, you know, to the West African region. You know, Boko Haram might see themselves as, you know, part of that organic process to push the caliphate deeper and broader in Africa, and in the case of Boko Haram, you know, to bring it to northern Nigeria.
Mark, I'm going to hold you right there. We got to take a quick break. We're having a conversation about Boko Haram, designated as a terrorist organization on November 13th by the State Department, and they have now risen, I guess, to a point in terms of the violence that they have been partaking in Nigeria, with attacks, bombings, killings of civilians and government individuals, soldiers, and everyone else. Now they have become designated as a terrorist organization by the State Department, and we're talking about the implications of that. We're talking about why Nigeria is important to the United States, and then also how are we going to be involved and what should we know as we continue to go forward. We've been talking to Mark Schroeder. He is the Vice President of Africa Analysis at Stratfor. You can find them at stratfor.com. They're a geopolitical intelligence firm, and they provide a great deal of analysis on a number of worldwide issues. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you're just joining us, we're talking about Boko Haram. You may not have heard about them, but they're a terrorist organization in Nigeria. They have been designated by the State Department now as a terrorist organization. On November 13, 2013, the State Department officially designated Boko Haram. And I want to make sure I'm pronouncing this right. Mark, is it Ansara? Am I right?
Ansaru.
Ansaru. Ansaru. As what they call a FTO, a forced terrorist organization under Section 219 of the Immigration and Nationality Act And in this dynamic, we're talking about what are the implications of our State Department now designating Boko Haram in Nigeria as a terrorist organization, and what does this mean going forward? We're talking about this with Mark Schroeder. He is from Stratfor. You can find him at stratfor.com. They're a geopolitical intelligence firm that analyzes a number of issues, and Africa is one of them, and then all terrorist organizations is also one of their specialties as well. Mark has been providing a great deal of analysis and a great deal of expertise on these areas. He spent some time in Africa doing international development work, so he knows the region quite well. Mark, as we look at the going forward and look at, because you just mentioned a number of different things that I think everybody has been concerned about, especially with our national security community and across the world, organizations, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, and others becoming Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda affiliates. And it's almost like Al-Qaeda is this brand now, and people want to have an affiliation with this group, which also means that it's spreading. It seems to be kind of spreading its brand across regions that it may not have had before. What does that mean, especially as we look at Africa, Mark?
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about, the case of Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb, which is, probably the most prominent Al-Qaeda franchise in Africa. You know, its primary base of operations, or its historic base, is in northern Algeria. But over the years, and especially since the 1990s, it has been forced to expand or shift its focus to more southern parts of Africa, or at least south of the Mediterranean basin. And we saw over the last couple of years its reach into Mali that, at the end of the day, triggered the French military intervention to attack Al-Qaeda in Mali. And that's been successful to recover government control in Mali and degrade Al-Qaeda in that country and push its fighters out. But that is also, to say that, Al-Qaeda in the Islamic Maghreb is not defeated. They still retain their strategic intent and supreme leadership to try to fight to bring about the Islamic Caliphate in this part of Africa, in Northwest Africa. And there are, other militant groups in this region of Africa that are, clearly sharing very similar goals of bringing political and religious control to their respective territories. So the concern with groups like Boko Haram and Saru, the concern earlier in Mali with ethnic Tuareg nationalist groups like groups called Ansar Dine and Mujao, we have groups in Libya, groups in Tunisia that are fighting ferocious campaigns right now. Ferocious. These are high intensity insurgencies, challenging the government, these very weak governments right now, to establish territory for themselves so that they can carry out their religious objectives, their fundamentalist objectives, and permit them geographic space, that is unchallenged. And if we play that forward, to be able to use these as basis for additional, insurgent activity. And so, Nigeria is one part, and Boko Haram is one country or one terrorist organization in a region of Africa that is seeing, a number of terrorist groups and terrorist activity that as a whole is quite destabilizing. None of these groups, with the exception of the country of Libya, are an imminent threat to taking down the governments of these countries. And in the case of Mali, we've seen with Al-Qaeda, they've basically been degraded and ejected from the country. They are a guerrilla threat, but no longer a national security threat to the government of Mali. Mm-hmm. French took care of that.
Okay.
But as a whole, there is still very significant insecurity and threat by jihadists and Al-Qaeda sympathizers, to really, conduct some very significant and worrisome strikes.
You know, a lot of people have seen Africa, especially countries like Nigeria, where you do have a population that has a bit of an infrastructure. Abuja and other places have, Western hotels, and you know, they have a great deal of potential. You have a great deal of people who are wealthy and a number of different things going on, and you have that kind of divide between those who are very, very wealthy and then those who are in poverty. And a lot of people see, whether it be Nigeria and the other countries surrounding it, as there's a great deal of potential in Africa in terms of business, in terms of building infrastructure, new stores, maybe, to move over there, a population that has not really seen a lot of economic growth. But it seems as if this instability is preventing that. I mean, are you hearing that from Western corporations or corporations who are coming out of Europe or anywhere else who are looking at the region as a possibility for business interests, but they don't want to go in there because of the instability and because of these organizations?
That is a great question, and one that we face here at Stratfor on a daily basis. I would say, on the one hand, there is very significant interest from the business community here in the United States and in Europe and in other regions of the world to take a genuine fresh look at business opportunities in Africa and all across Africa. From countries in the Mediterranean basin in North Africa all the way down to South Africa. But the question comes, what is the degree of insecurity, or what are the threats of insecurity that might prevent, my investment from being realized? And then it really comes down to, what is the scale and scope, or in other words, what is the intent and capability of these various militant groups that are present in many countries in Africa. And if you can understand the intent and capability, the range and target set that these militant groups comprise, then you can use that to judge and assess your business decision making. And even in countries like Nigeria, I would say that country and that economy is still one of the most robust in Africa, and its population is growing rapidly, has the largest resource base in Africa, demands growth, demands advancement in their quality and standard of living, and it's a very compelling economy. Though, as we have been talking, throughout in this show, it's a very compelling security environment as well, facing enormous challenges. And I think the designation by the State Department of Boko Haram as a terrorist entity is a recognition at the same time that, Boko Haram is conducting, a very persistent, attack to degrade the Nigerian government functionality in the north. But with political evolutions going on in Nigeria and the need to use militant groups such as Boko Haram to secure political objectives, with an eye on elections that are coming up in Nigeria in about a year and a half, the need for militancy and insecurity and terrorism tradecraft will persist for political purposes for clearly the next couple of years. So I think the State Department is making this designation out of a realization of terrorist activities that have already taken place, mm-hmm. but also in anticipation of a continuation of terrorist activity.
Mark, I need to hold you right there. We're going to take a quick break. When I come back, I know there's been also some piracy that's happened off the coast of Nigeria, and I want to kind of talk about that, where we have seen piracy kind of come down a little bit, but are we seeing a little bit that more? Are we starting to see organizations, like Boko Haram or others, start getting into this? I mean, there's a lot of money to be made in piracy, especially with companies just paying off those who have kidnapped these ships or taken these ships in order just to get the ship back, because there's so much money tied up into the ship. They just rather give a people a couple $1 million to go ahead and get them back. But I want to talk about that and then talk about where we're going to be going with Nigeria in the future. We're talking to Mark Schroeder. He is the Vice President of Africa Analysis at Stratfor. You can find them at stratfor.com. They cover a number of different issues and analyze them, Africa being one of them. We're talking about Boko Haram. We're talking about Nigeria. We're talking about the implications of Boko Haram and other organizations being designated as a foreign terrorist organization. And we're talking about why is Nigeria and the continent of Africa important to the United States. We'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Welcome back to Fed Access with Derek T. Deutsch on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you just joined us, we are talking about Boko Haram, an organization that has been recently designated as a FTO, a foreign terrorist organization, by the State Department. They're in Nigeria, and Nigeria is one of the oil-rich countries in Africa and also in the world. They are a supplier of oil to the United States, and so that's why the country is definitely important to our interests in a number of different ways. We've been talking about the implications of Boko Haram as a foreign terrorist organization, and what does this mean? Because the country has a number of security issues going on that also may impact our interests in the United States. We're talking about this with Mark Schroeder. He is the Vice President of Analysis at Stratfor. They're a geopolitical intelligence firm. You can find them at stratfor.com. They have a number of different analytical tools. You can get their free geopolitical weekly bulletins. That's very, very helpful. And you can also get some subscriptions to some of their great products. But you can find them there. Mark has been providing some insight on Nigeria and some insight on Africa. He spent some time in that region doing international development work, so he knows it well. Mark, you know, recently we had some piracy happened in off the coast of Nigeria, and we've known about it in Somalia, off the coast of Somalia and other areas. And two Americans were taken, and they were just given back recently. Are we going to see that start to happen more off maybe the coast of Nigeria and other places as these organizations are trying to get stronger or get more money to fund their operations? What are we looking at?
That is a very relevant question, and one that really speaks to the tensions and the conflicts that go on within Nigeria. And we've been focusing a lot of attention on Boko Haram and the terrorist group there that's conducting its insurgency in northern Nigeria. But let's also remember in southern Nigeria, and specifically in the Niger Delta region, there are militant groups and militants that for years have been waging an insurgency there, destabilizing the oil sector for their own strategic political purposes, and kidnapping oil workers, bunkering oil or stealing oil, blowing up pipelines, occupying energy facilities, have been part of the tradecraft of militants in the Niger Delta to achieve their political goals, which is to fight their way into the Nigerian government and control the purse strings of the Nigerian government. Now, where all this is going, Nigeria is having national elections in about a year and a half, and the president, Goodluck Jonathan, is fighting for his political life to be reelected. And he got into the presidency and the vice presidency before that because of militancy in the Niger Delta region. So we're starting to see an uptick in militancy. You mentioned the kidnapping of two American mariners off the coast of the Niger Delta. We've seen an uptick in pipeline disruptions, attacks on the energy infrastructure there, threats by groups like the Movement for the Emancipation of the Niger Delta, better known as MEND. And these are part and parcel of a political campaign to defend the interests of that region and that's political elite. So it's a constant struggle in a rotational struggle over using militancy to secure political advancement, but then that will trigger a reaction by other regions in the country, the north that we're seeing right now, and using terrorism as tradecraft to secure their political advancement. And you know, it's two separate regions using essentially terrorism as tradecraft, but they're feeding off of each other, and there's very few checks or restraints on it. And with the immense prize of the Nigerian government up for grabs in 18 months' time, there's really going to be, you know, little restraint between now and then.
You know, Mark, it seems as if this problem is one, because if the North and the Muslims take control of government, and not necessarily, we're possibly seeing a complete change in complete society, but then we're possibly going to see the South begin using, from what you're saying, we're going to see the South possibly become more militant and start taking action in order to now, you know, degrade their capabilities. And it almost seems as if this is a problem that is going to always be ongoing until people decide that force is not the way to achieve these goals.
Well, that's a great question. And Nigeria, you know, over the decades since independence, has faced some extreme stress over these exact conditions. And it fought a civil war in the late 1960s over the issues of, you know, who is in control of government, what political interests and religious interests are in control of government. And that civil war was defeated, but we have seen persistent coup d'etats, assassinations of political leaders many times since then, you know, in the 1970s and the 1980s, to really, you know, try to channel political grievances there. And so it's going to be very difficult to restrain from using violence or terrorism tradecraft to secure, you know, these very, you know, lucrative and demanding, you know, political interests there. Nigeria is just a very stressful, you know, country. But at the same time, it went to the civil war brink in the late 1960s, and I think everybody stepped back from that. And, you know, despite the stresses of militancy that we see today, it's not at that point that it was in the 1960s.
You know, as we begin to look at it from the United States perspective, you know, where do we go from here? I mean, we've ramped up AFRICOM. We start to, you know, give us more assistance to certain African countries, whether it be a Nigeria, whether it be a Uganda, or whatever the case is. We've put a lot of more economic development going on in areas of Kenya, Rwanda, and other things like that. Where do we go in the United States? I mean, in terms of our interests, international security interests, our economic interests in places like Nigeria and Africa as a whole?
Sure. I would say that, you know, the Nigerians need our help in terms of intelligence sharing, intelligence coordination, you know, being aware of movements within and beyond their borders. Nigerians don't need boots on the ground. They have, you know, a very, you know, large and capable military, you know, that has been deployed against Boko Haram and other security threats in the country. But to really understand the movements and supply routes and intentions and capabilities of groups like Boko Haram, that's where the United States can really step in and kind of paint the bigger picture of insecurity concerns throughout this region of Africa. West Africa, North Africa, East Africa, Central Africa. United States has a very broad presence and capability, you know, with eyes on security threats, you know, across this stretch of Africa, and sharing that with partners and allies in countries like Nigeria, you know, can be extremely helpful, you know, for the Nigerian government authorities to confront their own security threats and help to keep them, you know, contained within the country and away from, you know, kind of broader significant economic concerns.
Will this increase the amount of American companies who will have access? I mean, you know, if we're putting these kind of resources in place, does that increase the amount of American companies who have access to the oil supply in Nigeria?
Well, there are American oil company majors already active in Nigeria, and they have a very capable and robust system of information to understand kind of the security and political trends in Nigeria already. Exxon is there, and Royal Dutch Shell and Chevron. You know, they are major players in Nigeria and are, you know, kind of fully, fully available to kind of information on the security threats there. So, you know, that's already kind of an embedded infrastructure network in the country. But I would say, you know, there will be efforts to just, you know, make sure that information can be shared on, you know, new trends in insecurity. So as companies, you know, do legitimately look to invest in Nigeria, you know, that they are going in, you know, eyes open and aware of, you know, the political trends that impact the security trends, and then to understand the scale and scope or intent and capability of groups like Boko Haram.
Thank you so much, Mark, for this analysis. I mean, this has been insightful. I think this is an area that we're going to have to continue to monitor. One more area that we're going to have to continue to monitor, especially when it comes to United States interests and the interests of just the world as we begin to see Africa kind of taking hold and becoming more and more important in terms of our national security interests, our international security interests, and our economic interests. We're going to definitely be checking back with you to get more insight as we see what's going on in Nigeria and as these elections are coming up. But thank you so much.
Derek, thank you so much for having me on your program.
You've been listening to Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Fed Access with Derek T. Dortch, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.